Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Radio Theatre Group. Radio Theatre Group are proud to present the second in our series of great detective stories from the golden age of radio drama. Today's presentation features the master detective of Baker Street, Sherlock Holmes, in the mystery of the Musgrave Ritual. And now, Radio Theatre Group, supported by the Ramshorn Theatre, bring you Miss Joanne Gallagher as Rachel, Mr. Murray McLennan as Brunton, Mr. James Keenan as Dr. Watson and as Reginald Musgrave, and Mr. Derek MacDonald as Sherlock Holmes. Ladies and gentlemen, the Musgrave Ritual. Whose was it?
His who is gone.
Who shall have it?
He who will come.
Where was the sun?
Over the oak.
Where was the shadow?
Under the elm.
How was it stepped?
North by 10 and by 10. East by 5 and by 5. South by 2 and by 2. West by 1 and by 1. And so on.
What shall we give for it?
All that is ours.
Why should we give it?
For the sake of the trust.
An anomaly, which often struck me in the character of my friend Sherlock Holmes, was that alone in his methods of thought, he was the neatest and most methodical of mankind. And alone, also he affected a certain quiet primness of dress. He was, nonetheless, in his personal habits, one of the most untidy men that ever drove a fellow lodger to distraction. Not that I am the least conventional in that respect myself. The rough and tumble work in Afghanistan, coming on top of the natural bohemianism of disposition, has made me rather more lax than befits a medical man. But with me, there is a limit. And when I find a man who keeps his cigars in the coal scuttle, his tobacco in the toe end of a Persian slipper, and his unanswered correspondence transfixed by a jackknife into the very center of his wooden mantelpiece, then I begin to give myself virtuous airs. I've always held, too, that pistol practice should be distinctly an open-air pastime. And when Holmes, in one of his queer humors, would sit in an armchair with his hair trigger and 100 boxer cartridges and proceed to adorn the opposite wall with a patriotic VR done in bullet box, I felt strongly that neither the atmosphere nor the appearance of the room was improved by it. Our chambers were always full of chemicals and of old criminal relics which had a way of wandering into unlikely positions and of turning up in the butter dish or even less desirable places. But his papers were my great crux. He had a horror of destroying documents, especially those which were connected with his past cases. And yet, it was only once in every year or two that he would muster the energy to docket and arrange them. For, as I have mentioned somewhere in these incoherent memoirs, the outbursts of passionate energy when he performed the remarkable feats with which his name was associated were followed by reactions of lethargy, during which he would lie about with his violin and his books, hardly moving, save from the sofa to the table. Thus, month after month, his papers accumulated until every corner of the room was stacked with bundles of manuscript, which were on no account to be burned, and which could not be put away, save by their owner. One winter's night, as we sat together by the fire, Holmes playing on his violin, I ventured to suggest that he might spend his time more profitably by making our sitting room a little more habitable. I say, Holmes, I wish you'd stop that caterwauling. Oh, no, stop that racket. Why don't you do something worthwhile instead of lolling around like that?
For instance?
Well, you could straighten up this room. It looks more like a pigsty every day.
Oh, very well.
Now where are you going? Look at the place. Papers on the table, papers on the floor, papers on all the chairs, and papers.
Oh,
What are you doing, Holmes? Pulling that large tin box in here.
House cleaning. The key? Oh, yes.
What have you got in there?
Cases. Records of some of my earlier cases done prematurely. Before I had such a competent biographer. I think if you knew what I had in this box, you'd ask me to pull some out instead of putting others in.
It's no use, Holmes. You can't get round me like that. You might just as well begin putting your stuff away.
Here's the record of the Tarleton murders, in the case of Vanbury, the adventure of the Russian woman, and the singular affair of the aluminium crutch.
Aluminium crutch?
Yes, a most amazing story. It was one April day, the rain was coming down in torrents.
I am not interested.
Hey-ho. Well, I suppose I'd best get to work. Here. Now here really is something a little recherché.
There's nothing but a wooden box with a sliding lid.
But look inside! Look inside!
A crumpled piece of paper with some doggerel written on it. An old-fashioned brass key. A peg of wood with a ball of string attached. And three rusty old discs of metal. It's not very impressive.
Well, what do you make of it?
It's a strange collection.
And there is a stranger story connected with it.
I suspected these relics had a history.
They are history, my dear Watson. They are history.
What was it about?
These are all I have left to remind me of the Musgrave ritual. Fascinating case. Fascinating. Hey-ho. Well, I guess I'd better be getting on with my work.
What was the Musgrave ritual?
You want to interrupt my labors with a silly story? Dear, dear. And leave all this litter as it is reprehensible, my dear Watson. Thoroughly reprehensible.
Oh, get on with the story.
Very well. It was one of my first cases, when I was making a most precarious living out of my sleuthing. It had to do with Reginald Musgrave, a son of one of the oldest families in the kingdom. Well, I hadn't seen Reginald Musgrave for several years, until one morning I received a note from him. Here it is.
My dear Sherlock, I hear that you are turning to practical ends these powers in which you used to analyze us. Could you spare time to visit us at Hurlston? I can promise you a problem which will tax even your nimble wits. Hopefully yours, Reggie Musgrave.
You can imagine my eagerness. In my innermost heart, I believed that I could succeed where others had failed.
Conceit.
Don't interrupt, Watson, don't interrupt. Well, late that night, I arrived at Hurlston, to find myself enthusiastically greeted by mine host.
Well, Holmes, delighted to see you, my dear fellow. It's awfully good of you to come. You've gotten taller and thinner than ever.
You're much the same, I should say, Musgrave.
Alfred, carry Mr. Holmes's bag up to his room.
Yes, sir.
Your butler is new at his job, isn't he?
Oh, yes. But how did you know?
Well, his uniform is rather a bad fit, and his legs are better suited to the stable yard than the drawing room.
Well, as a matter of fact, he's just been promoted to his post. He used to be the head coachman. It's about Brunton, our old butler, that I wanted to see you.
What about him?
He's disappeared.
Brunton's disappeared, eh? Seems to me I've heard you mention his name before.
I dare say you have. He's been in service here for nearly 20 years, although he's barely 40 now.
Rather unusual.
Yes. He was a young schoolteacher, out of a place when he was first taken up by my father. He was a man of great ability, handsome, spoke several languages, and played every musical instrument. The Paragon. Brunton had only one fault.
Yes?
He was a bit of a Don Juan. A few months ago, we were in hope that he was about to settle down. For he became engaged to Rachel Howells, our second maid.
Well?
Well, he has since thrown her over, and taken up with the daughter of the head gamekeeper.
And what was this girl, Rachel, like?
Rachel was a very good girl, but of an excitable Welsh temperament. She had a touch of brain fever, subsequent to the smash-up of her romance. I'm really rather worried about the girl.
Yes, but look here, Musgrave, you haven't brought me all the way from London to discuss a servant girl's love affairs.
That was our first drama at Hurlston. And quite a tempest in a teapot it was. You know what country houses are like. But a second one came to drive it from our minds.
and was prefaced by the disgrace and the dismissal of the butler, Brunton.
Dismissal?
One night last week, Thursday to be exact, I found that I couldn't sleep. You know how it is. Well, at 2 o'clock, I rose and lit a candle, intending to get a novel I'd been reading in the library. I put on my dressing gown and started down the stairs. Imagine my surprise when, looking down the corridor, I saw a glimmer of light coming from the library door. My first thought was a burglar's. Luckily, our corridors are liberally decorated with trophies and old weapons. I seized the battle axe in either hand and tiptoed down the passage to the library door.
Oh, sir!
Why, God bless me, it's Brunton! What are you doing down here in the middle of the night?
Well, you see, sir,
And my desk has been broken into. And my private papers thrown on the table. What do you mean by going through my private papers? You scoundrel! After the trust we've had in you!
Well, sir, I meant no harm.
The impotence! The rank impotence, Brunton! You'll leave my service tomorrow.
Oh, Mr. Musgrave, sir, I can't bear the disgrace. I've always been proud about my station in life.
Yes. Look what it's led you into!
The disgrace will kill me! At least let me give you notice and leave in a month's time, as of my own free will.
Very well. But a month is too long. Take yourself off in a week, and give what reasons you wish for going.
Only a week? Oh no, a fortnight. At least say a fortnight.
A week! And you've been let off very lightly. Now, put down that paper you have in your hand, and get out!
And after that little set-to, you were too annoyed to sleep, eh, Musgrave?
Well, as a matter of fact, I did spend the rest of the night thinking of things I should have said to the fellow. However, by morning I'd calmed down somewhat.
And Brunton?
For 2 days afterwards, Brunton was most assiduous in his attention to details. On the third day, he was gone.
Gone? Gone where?
Just take it. That's what I would like to know. His bed had not been slept in. But all our windows and doors were found locked on the inside. And no one had let him out.
Did you question this girl, Rachel?
Yes. She'd been very ill ever since his disappearance. Sometimes hysterical. I had to have a nurse to sit up with her at night.
What was the condition of Brunton's room after the disappearance?
Very orderly, as usual. His clothes, his watch, even his money were in the room. But the black suit he usually wore was missing. His slippers, too, were gone. But not his boots.
Enlightening. Most enlightening. And what was the paper he had in his hand when you surprised him in the library?
It was the Musgrave Ritual.
The Musgrave Ritual? What is that?
Oh, rather an absurd business. It has only its antiquity to excuse it. It's a strange sort of catechism, which each Musgrave must answer when he comes of age.
Could I see it?
Oh, certainly, certainly. It's in the library. Come this way.
This old hall is rather impressive with all its armor and weapons.
Wait.
I fancy I heard someone on the stairs. Someone on tiptoe.
I'll run up and have a look.
Be careful, my dear fellow. Be careful.
No, there's no one here.
Strange. I would have sworn I heard footsteps.
Must have been the old stairs creaking. This is the library, and this is the desk where I keep my private papers.
How private? I mean, is there anything there that would benefit anyone else?
Oh, good heavens, no.
Nothing that might lead to blackmail?
No. Sorry to disappoint you, Holmes, but I've led a very tame and uninteresting life.
I see one of the drawers was broken into. Very amateurish. I'm afraid Brunton had very little experience.
Yes, that lock is completely damaged. I've moved everything to this side of the desk. Just a minute till I find my key. Ah, yes. And here is the Musgrave Ritual.
Curious old writing. It dates back to, Charles I, I should say. You can tell by the spelling.
Probably Charles II. They went in for rigmarole of this sort of thing in those days. It's just a series of questions and answers. Probably the bywords of a secret society.
You know the answers by heart, I take it.
Oh, yes. It's something every Musgrave has to learn.
Suppose I read off the questions, and you give me the answers.
Fire away. You can't trip me up there.
All right. Here goes. Whose was it?
His who's gone.
Who shall have it?
He who will come.
Where was the sun?
Over the oak.
Where was the shadow?
Under the elm.
How was it stepped?
North by 10 and by 10. East by 5 and by 5. south by two and by two, west by one and by one, and so under.
What shall we give for it?
All that is ours.
Why should we give it?
For the sake of the trust. As you can see, Holmes, the paper has no practical importance.
On the contrary, it has tremendous practical importance. Your butler seems to have been a very clever fellow. He has had more insight than 10 generations of his masters.
Oh, I say, Holmes.
The oak, I take it, is the one that stands here, to the east of the house. I noticed it as I drove up.
That's right. You can see it from this window.
Yes, quite a patriarch.
It must have been here when the ritual was drawn up.
It was there at the Norman Conquest, in all probability. Listen. There is someone in the hall outside, eavesdropping. I'm sure of it this time.
How soon find out who the blighter is? What on earth? Why, it's Rachel. Oh, my dear girl. Whatever are you doing up and about like this? Where's your nurse?
She's sleeping. I fooled her.
You must go right back to bed.
Yes. I must go right back. He's gone.
Yes, of course.
Brunton's gone. He's gone, I say.
Yes, I know that. Now, don't worry. We'll find him for you. Just go back.
You'll never find him. Never. I know where he's gone.
Yes?
He's gone where he belongs.
Where is that?
To hell! He's gone to hell!
Oh, I say, she's delirious.
He's gone to
hell! Help me get upstairs, will you?
You have to postpone our talk, I'm afraid.
Yes, there's nothing more to do until tomorrow morning in any case.
What do you mean tomorrow morning?
When the sun is over the oak.
That's what he said! And now he's gone! Gone! He's gone!
That's enough, Rachel, enough! Now get back upstairs! Good morning, Holmes. I hope you haven't been too bored prowling around the grounds by yourself. Sorry to have kept you waiting for breakfast. Fact is, I'm a bit upset. There's been another disappearance. Rachel eluded her nurse again last night, and so far she hasn't been found.
So I understand. Your new butler told me. I've traced her footprints to the edge of this lake.
But the lake is over 8 feet deep at that point. Oh, the poor demented girl!
I took the liberty of ordering the drags and grappling hooks at once.
Have you found anything yet?
Nothing. Exactly nothing. Hello? There seems to be some excitement now. The drags have caught on something.
Sir, sir! We got on this day for sure!
Pull hard, boys! That's right. What a frightful business. Hello? Why? It's not a body!
No, it's a large canvas bag.
Here, boys, give it to me!
Yes, sir.
What's in it? Just a minute. Don't slosh it around, sir. Why? Why, it's just a lot of old discolored metal. And some dull-colored pebbles of glass. Throw it back in.
Stop. Better keep that stuff. Bring it along. And don't let it out of your hands. Now, let's get back to the house.
Breakfast, eh?
No, breakfast will have to be postponed. The sun is now over the oak.
Oh, I say, Holmes. You're not taking that rubbish seriously.
The only thing that puzzles me is the absence of our ancient elm tree.
Sorry to disappoint you. There are plenty of elderly beeches, won't they do?
No, I'm afraid not.
Oh, wait a minute. There used to be an elm. Very ancient it was, too. Over there, you can still see the stump. It was cut down when I was about 15.
That's better. Midway between the house and the oak. Yes, that must have been the one. I suppose it's impossible to find out how tall it was.
No, not at all. It was 64 feet.
Excellent. But how in...
The tree was my tutor's favorite exercise in trigonometry.
Now then, the shadow of the oak is fairly obvious. We can see that for ourselves. But the shadow of the elm is a bit more difficult.
I say, Holmes, what are you doing with that fishing rod?
A fishing rod of 6 feet throws a shadow of, 9 feet exactly. Quite simple. Therefore, a tree of 64 feet will throw a shadow of 96 feet. And in the same direction. Where's my tape? Ah, yes. 96 feet. Yes, here we are.
Oh, I must say, Holmes, that's very neat.
That's just the beginning, my dear fellow, just the beginning. North, 10 and 10. 10 steps by each foot, I think that means.
That takes you parallel to the well-built wing of the house.
Marked with a peg. Now, 5 to the east, yes, and 2 to the south.
I say, it takes you to that old unused door.
The old unused door has been used quite recently. The surrounding ivy is all torn.
Oh, yes, by Jove. It's even unlocked.
How long since this wing has been inhabited?
Not for several generations. This is the oldest part of the house. Built in the 16th century, I should say. It's only used nowadays to store things in.
Open the door. And 2 paces to the west obviously means 2 paces down this flagstone passage.
This way?
Well, this must be the place indicated by the ritual.
What are you tapping the stones for?
All firmly cemented together. Not even a hollow sound.
I told you it was all boulder dash.
Hold on. And so under. I nearly forgot that one. Is there a cellar under this place?
Yes. It's as old as the house.
Lead me to it. That's where our search ends.
Oh, very well, but what are we searching for? Careful. Steps here. It's pretty dark. That's it. This is the cellar. We store wood down here sometimes. Hello? So we move to the side.
What's this? What's this?
It's Brunton's muffler. What's the villain been doing down here?
Just as I thought. Look here. This piece of wood. It's been used to prop up something heavy. See how both ends are flattened.
Look. The muffler's attached to this iron ring, set in the flagstone.
Quite sizable flagstone, eh? He must have had someone to help him. He couldn't raise that by himself.
You mean Brunton?
Yes. He was after something hidden under here. He probably talked Rachel into assisting him. That's how she happened to be in possession of the bag she threw into the lake.
I don't understand what you're talking about.
I can't budge it. Lend me a hand, will you, Musgrave?
Righto. There it comes!
Quick, prop it up with that piece of wood. That's it.
By Jove. It's a small room down there. And there on the side. What's that?
That, my dear Musgrave, is what Brunton was after. Come on, let's go down.
A brass-bound wooden box. All covered with dust and worm-eaten. The lid has been thrown back. Look here, Holmes. I thought you expected to find a considerable treasure. All this trunk contains is a few discolored discs of metal. Old coins, apparently. I say, do you think that rascal Brunton's been here and robbed me?
That was his intention, undoubtedly. But I don't think he succeeded.
Why not? The box is empty.
Because I think I see his feet sticking out from behind the box. Here, help me move the box.
Is Brunton all right? He's dead.
Quite. Suffocated, I fancy. This cubbyhole isn't very large.
Yes, but how? Well, how did it happen?
He was murdered on the second night, after you discovered him in the library. I can reconstruct the scene fairly easily from the data we have on hand. Rachel's condition, the bag found in the lake, the open door, the muffler, and the piece of wood used as a prop. It is the last, which is particularly significant. He had talked Rachel into assisting him, realizing that the girl was still infatuated. They waited until everyone had gone to bed, then stole down here. It was a stormy night, I believe.
That's it! Close the door after you!
Now light the lamp. That's better. For the love of heaven, Rachel, don't look like that. Nothing's going to happen to you.
I'm afraid. Do you think we ought?
What's the matter with you? If I'd known you had no more spunk in you than this, and I'd have asked someone else. I thought you said you loved me.
I do. You know I do. I'd do anything for you.
Well then, come along. Down this stairway. Easy now.
But it's stealing.
Stealing? To take something a man doesn't even know he has? He'll never miss it.
But it's his, not ours.
What of it? He hasn't the sense to find it, has he? I'm the only one with brains enough for that. Think I want to spend the rest of my life waiting on them that aren't as good as I am? We'll have money. We'll be rich. Why do you think I didn't marry you before? Think I've got to starve myself to keep a wife?
Then you will marry me if we find it.
Here's a ring. Wait, I'll put my muffler through it.
But you will marry me. You must. I haven't told you before because I didn't want to worry you, but folks are beginning to suspect.
Stop your blabbing! Grab this muffler! Now then, pull. Pull harder!
It's so heavy!
A lot of you show out to a man. Pull harder, I tell you! She comes. Quick, shove that piece of wood under here.
Why, there's a trunk down there.
Of course. And I'm going to find out what's in it. Stop your trembling, you fool. You're shaking the lantern.
You will marry me, won't you?
Dusty down here. Let's get this lid off. Oh, well. Well, that's something like it.
You will marry me.
Here, put this stuff in the canvas bag I brought along. Careful, you ninny, don't drop it. Now give me a hand and help me out of here.
You haven't answered me.
Haven't answered what?
You are going to marry me, aren't you?
Marry you? What kind of a fool do you take me for? Marry a girl like you that lets a fellow...
Don't laugh!
How do I know I'm not the only lover you've had? A wench like you.
I hate you! I hate you! I hate the sight of you! I don't ever want to see you again!
Yeah, what are you doing with that piece of wood? Look out, you fool! Look out!
He wouldn't marry me.
Let me out! Let me out! I can't breathe! Let me out!
He wouldn't marry me! He wouldn't marry me! He wouldn't marry me!
What a cad he must have been.
Quite.
But what did Brunton find that he considered so valuable?
The contents of that bag.
This old rubbish? Why, the metal is almost black and all these dull-looking stones.
Try rubbing one of those pieces of metal.
These are the coins of Charles I. You see, we were right in fixing our date for this ritual.
We may find something else of Charles I. Let me see the contents of the bag which you fished from the mere. You must bear in mind that the royal party made head in England, even after the death of the king, and that when they had last fled, they probably left many of their most precious possessions buried behind them, with the intention of returning for them in more peaceful times.
My ancestor, Sir Ralph Musgrave, was a prominent cavalier and the right-hand man of Charles II in his wanderings.
Ah, indeed. Well, now, I think that really should give us the last link that we wanted. I must congratulate you on coming into the possession, though in a rather tragic manner, of a relic which is of great intrinsic value, but of even greater importance as a historical curiosity.
What is it, then?
It is nothing less than the ancient crown of the kings of England.
The crown?
Precisely. Consider what the ritual says. How does it run? Whose was it? His who is gone. That was after the execution of Charles. Then, who shall have it? He who will come. That was Charles II, whose advent was already foreseen. There can, I think, be no doubt that this battered and shapeless diadem once encircled the brows of the royal Stuarts.
And how was it, then, that Charles did not get his crown when he returned?
Ah, there you lay your finger upon the one point which we shall probably never be able to clear up. It is likely that the Musgrave who held the secret died in the interval, and, by some oversight, left this guide to his descendant without explaining the meaning of it. From that day to this, it has been handed down from father to son, until at last it came within reach of a man who tore its secret out of it and lost his life in the venture.
And that's the story of the Musgrave ritual. They had the crown down at Hurlston, though they had some legal bother, and a considerable sum to pay before they were allowed to retain it. Of the woman, nothing was ever heard, and the probability is that she got away out of England and carried herself in the memory of her crime to some land beyond the sea.
Radio Theatre Group's presentation of the Musgrave Ritual, which featured Miss Joanne Gallagher as Rachel, Mr. Murray McLennan as Brunton, Mr. James Keenan in the dual roles of Dr. Watson and Reginald Musgrave, and Mr. Derek MacDonald as Sherlock Holmes.